Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello.
Aya. I like the aya.
It's more like an A-up from Yorkshire.
Hey, your Twitter used to be A-up Lee.
Yeah.
Why did it change?
I don't know, because I think I actually got more followers with that
yeah,
name.
Yeah, ironed out of you for
instead
your
of
job.
Lee Mill on the TV, people seem to like A-Up Lee more. A-Up Lee.
Well, I've still got stupid DJ Chris Berry, which I've got to change, but I just, the thought of having to do it.
Yeah, it is effort.
But the Naked Gaming Pod one is easy, because it's at Naked Gaming Pod.
Why couldn't we have an at Naked Gaming Podcast? Is it too many characters?
I think we could have, but I think at the time I thought it was edgy.
Oh, God. That's the last time I leave anything to you.
Do you know we're going to do a special retro episode
Yay!
This time round, which is good. You're kind of up your street because I, Lee Miller TV, I was on TV.
Yeah, don't get used to it.
I mean, we recorded stuff for about half an hour.
Yeah.
And I was on telly for this long.
Thousands of pounds.
You win.
I think if you're under the age of 30, 35, you might never have been to a classic arcade where you used to go and kind of compete against your friends, try and get that highest score in Pac-Man. So for the younger generation, it's a novelty factor. Whereas if you were somebody who used to go and play all those classic arcade games, it's like nostalgia for you. You will want to see if the machines live up to what you remember.
Back in Yarmouth.
It was worth it. That was a good, what was that, a good 10 seconds?
Yeah.
Worth it.
And you got to experience...
Working with you.
Working with me, yes. How was that, Chris?
Yep, very good. So, no, you're very good. You're a professional. You take it very seriously. Whereas I'm there going...
Things done.
Can I just get it done? No, but you get it done, but well, whereas I'd just like to get it done.
Yeah, but that's the difference between TV and radio. It was fun. It was really fun.
So that was talking about classic games and a game arcade. We've been to one of these retro-inspired places, actually, with all the kind of the old consoles and also VR headsets and all the new stuff. So we're going to do retro games. Now, there's Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, so that's a new one inspired by a retro game. There's also a remake of Alone in the Dark, which we're going to feature on the show as well.
Hang on a minute. You've missed one.
Is that not it?
No, we've got even more. I've been playing Princess Peach. Showtime.
It's your kind of title and game, that, I think.
It's like, I think it was made actually about me.
Let's get the news first of all. Lee is in the house.
Outgoing PlayStation boss Jim Ryan has revealed that PlayStation 2 sales reached a staggering, get it, 160 million units sold worldwide. I mean, wow. That's good, but you still can't buy a PlayStation Portal very easily. The developer of Helldivers 2 has warned players against having snowball fights because they're causing the game to crash. Some planets in the game, like Heath, have snow, which you can throw, but just don't do it unless you want the bugs to win.
Together, we must take back control of freedom.
Now, the first person to receive a Neuralink brain implant has revealed that one of the first things they did was stay up all night playing Civilization 6. Now, Neuralink was founded in 2016 by Elon Musk and a number of scientists to develop a way for humans to communicate with technology using neurosignals. The company hoped the tech would improve the lives of people living with paralysis, offering them more control over their own lives. And Nintendo has teamed up with Uniqlo to release a clothing line based on The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. The collection of six t-shirts is so far only announced for Japan.
Would you wear a Zelda t-shirt, though?
No,
you wouldn't. But you did have a Little Nightmares t-shirt that you wore to a gig
once. I've got to really like the game or the characters to wear it.
It's cool that it exists, though. I think there's obviously a demand for it, but it's not the same as my guitar t-shirts, where I have about
30?
No,
but
too many.
You've got an healthy obsession. And the thing is, you only wear them once, and then they get put in the laundry basket, and now the laundry basket is just full of band t-shirts that you no longer wear.
No, they get worn again if I do another video from the same band. It's just that the Slash ones get worn a lot.
Stop kidding around, Snake.
Before we go to our reviews, you know that game, what we did a massive review of, Sea of Stars, like the retro game?
Yes.
Just worth mentioning that the developers have announced that they're going to add on three-player co-op.
Oh, that's cool.
Which you can play on the game, which is super cool, isn't
it? Yeah, that's really good. I think we need more of this, though, because I think it's all right just sitting at home playing your game, but it's nice when you can play co-op with people, because it's just a bit more inclusive as well.
Checking out free update for Sea of Stars. We're going retro in a sec, but Alex Rhodes is returning.
Yay!
I think he had a month off, but I don't know why.
How dare he?
No, I think I forgot.
Did we allow him?
I think I forgot.
Did we allow him to have a month off?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
So he has returned. He actually said he was very excited to play this game.
Hello, Chris and Lee. It's Alex here, back for another month with another game review. This month, I'm looking at Yakuza Like a Dragon. It's the prequel to Yakuza Infinite Wealth, which has only just come out recently. I never really played any of the Yakuza games. I'd wanted to for quite a while, but, you know, to go back to play some of the old ones, you're talking about going back to the PS1 era and stuff like that, and I kind of wanted to jump in at a more modern bit. This sort of new series, kind of spin-off series, is based in a kind of separate world to the main plot, so I thought, okay, this is a good one to sort of dip my toe into. One big difference straight away, which I didn't know going into it, is of the clips I'd seen of Yakuza, I knew that it was basically like a kind of brawler set in the streets of Tokyo, and you play, obviously, as the Yakuza, or a former Yakuza. This one is actually turn-based. The combat system is turn-based, so I've just paused it in a moment. Let me unpause it back into the combat that I was in. Fighting against some street thugs. You play as a guy called Ichiban. It's quite a good plot, really. So you start off as a sort of kind of young Ichiban trying to join, you know, sort of a low sort of ranking member of the Yakuza, which is like basically the Japanese equivalent of the Mafia. You have about maybe an hour or so of gameplay there, getting sort of meeting the characters, meeting this kind of charismatic boss figure who, you know, you basically your character Ichiban owes his life to. And then a kind of along comes the moment, you know, this is fairly early game, so it's not really spoilers. Basically, you take the fall for someone else in the gang. You agree to do it because the boss asks you to. And, you know, you go to prison for, I think, about 18 years or something. And thinking, you know, okay, well, once I'm out, I can join the Yakuza again and reclaim my kind of place. But once you come out, no one wants to know you, including the boss who basically asks you to take the fall. So at the moment, that's just happened to me. I've now grown up. Ichiban has grown up, and he is kind of living in this kind of new world. He's missed all. It's set in like the early 2000s, I think. So he's getting used to kind of phones and things like that. You went to prison in the 90s or the late 80s or something like that. So the combat is it's quite odd. It's quite a mixture. So at the moment, you might be able to hear some car horns in the background. You basically wander around the map. It's a free roam kind of map, and then you have encounters with sort of gang members along the way. Let me see if I can get this going. And then you know you've got your attacks, you've got your kind of bigger moves. Yeah, that's gone well. One of my parties down already. So as well as playing as Ichiban, the main character, it's a party system. So at the moment, there's two other members of my party. I've probably played about. It feels like maybe 10 hours. You know, I think you can have up to four members in your party. There's, I think, a lot more characters to unlock. Yes, won that fight as you go along. It's full of very long cutscenes. It's very like story driven, and like, you know, that is like the main thrust of the game. It's not, you know, you're not really buying this game for the combat. You're buying it, oh, speaking of which, I've just had a combat encounter. You're buying it because of the plot. And it takes a little while to kind of get on its wavelength and be a bit like, okay, what is going on here? Especially if, like me, you've never played any of the other games before. But this one is fully voiced in Japanese and English, which I'm sure has cost a lot of money. There are loads of characters. There are loads of cutscenes. And I think it's going to be a very long game. I got it in English. I kind of wish I put it in Japanese, but I did it in English, and now I'm so used to the characters talking in that manner, I can't bring myself to switch it back.
Hey, boss, we're back.
So you go. Here you go there. That's Ichiban, voice of the main character.
It got pretty crazy back there. But you know what?
Oh, something's happened. So to put this in context, you're currently working for a guy who... runs a soap plant, which is basically like a sleazy Japanese massage parlor. You've done some work to help out some of the to help him, and unfortunately I've just found out he's hanged himself. So that's took a bit of a dark turn.
Way,
unfortunately.
Why would you?
Well, why indeed? We'll find out as we go along. I'm going to turn this down for a second while I talk a little bit more about the game. So yeah, I would check this one out. I think I got this, picked this up on the sort of PlayStation digital store for about a tenner. I'm certainly going to get my money's worth out of it because I feel like this is going to be a 100-150 hour game. So I don't need to worry about getting value for money. And yeah, see what you think about it. I don't think it will be for everyone. Some people are just not going to be able to get past the sort of core gameplay loop not being great. And some, I think, will struggle to get on its wavelength in terms of its sense of humour and its writing and things like that. But I'm really enjoying it, and I think, you know, it definitely has its core fan base, and I think you may well be part of it. So check it out, get it while it's cheap, and have a good time.
The day of my podcast recording.
Oh my goodness. Is that your Goodfellas impression?
Well, that's my Mafia impression, but
wow.
This is Yakuza, so wow. It's not quite the same, but wow. Anyway. Wow. So retro revival special then. We've got to start with a modern game that's inspired by one of the most classic games, Final Fantasy VII, the one that everyone goes on about.
It's
been remade. You can get it on your phone.
Of the most beautiful games ever.
It's incredible. And the original is so beautiful, even though it's kind of got old school graphics. So they did Final Fantasy Remake, where they remade the story of the first game, but with mega modern graphics and a totally different combat system. And then they followed that on with this new one, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Cloud, bring me the Black Materia.
The beginning of the end. The celebration of the faithful. A watershed moment for all mankind.
Which is the sequel to the remake. So it's very confusing. It's basically all the same new mechanics and graphics, but they've taken the story on themselves.
Okay.
So it's kind of new, but inspired by the classics.
Mm-hmm.
The story and the dialogue are terrible.
Oh, dear.
But the graphics and the cutscenes are incredible.
I think it's just, that's Final Fantasy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it looks nice. Is it good to play?
The combat is actually good, quite complex, but quite an improvement in the turn-based fighting that, you know, like the Pokemon-style combat, which you used to do.
Yeah.
I think that has kind of been and gone now. The problem I was having with this is that it was very beautiful, and they've gone huge on it, but it was quite jerky when you moved around. Like, some of the animations were a bit jerky.
That's unusual for Final Fantasy.
And for PlayStation in general. They did release an update that fixed a bit of it, but I don't know, it was a little bit underwhelmed. And then the thing is, for a game like this, you've got to play for like 100 hours. They want you to invest all your time in it,
right?
And I just think that I don't know if it was, the graphics were good enough and if it was fun enough
to give it that much time,
deserve that much of my time. There's one bit as well where there's lots of like gas just lurking around in one of the levels, and you find a massive like hoover, like, you know what a Zamboni is, you know, like from the ice hockey, that machine that kind of hoovers up the ice.
Yeah.
You get on one of them and you start hoovering this gas. And I was like, this is cool, but like, why am I doing this? This isn't like an amazing fantasy adventure. I'm like sucking up gas in a hoover.
Doing cleaning.
Yeah.
Being a game.
Right.
You already hate cleaning.
I don't like cleaning. So why would I want to do it in a game in my free time? There's also
did you do it?
No, that was the cut-off point.
So it was reality.
That was the cut-off point for the game. There's another bit as well where you're climbing up ledges, and, you know, like normally in a game like God of War, it's kind of camouflaged and it looks just like a natural wall. Yeah. In this, it's like a yellow line across that's like, grab onto this ledge here, and then you climb, and then it's grab onto this next bit. It's too basic.
Right.
In this day and age, I don't know, for me, for £70...
That is expensive, man.
It's like a 6 out of 10.
That's expensive.
I just... Because it's
it
not...
It just sounds like a bit of a letdown.
And because it's not the classic story, you haven't actually got that hook in, you know? If it was a classic story, you'd be like, oh, I remember this bit, but you don't, so...
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, it was a bit disappointing, but hopefully they'll improve it with another update or something. Over to you. It's, wait for it, showtime.
And now, everyone, Princess Peach... In this action game, she slashes, sings, sleuths, and so much more with show-stopping transformations. She takes the stage in Princess Peach Showtime!
Showtime! Okay, so this is definitely right up my street. You are Princess Peach. Everyone knows who Princess Peach is. Very much Mario-style-esque.
But graphically...
Just the whole gameplay, really. It's just like, if you love Mario, this is the game for you. Basically, you are in a theatre and Stella, the sparkle sprite, is watching over the theatre. You can't make it up, can you?
Stella.
And evil has taken over the theatre and it's ruining the show. So to take back the power, you've got to use your power of sparkle.
Oh, wow.
So you have like a ribbon, which is your like attack mode, and you have to go against these masked troublemakers. And it's just, yeah, it's just literally like playing Mario, basically, but you are Princess Peach. It's very, very slow in the beginning. You know, I hate a cutscene, and it is cutscene after cutscene after cutscene.
What's the actual gameplay like, though? Like,
it's good. It is. It's just like, you know, it's
you're jumping up and down on platforms.
Jumping up and down, going, yeah, just like a side-scrolling, you know, typical game that you get watching Mario. It's literally like playing Mario. That's about it.
Is it
really
fun, though? That's what I want to know. It looked like a bit of a chore to me.
No, it is fun. It is fun. It just took forever to get to the actual gameplay, and you kind of learn different skills by each level. You learn different skills, and it's just a very safe, chilled out game. It's nothing more than
that. No stress, though. That's good.
No stress.
Isn't she a detective in one bit, and then like another? She's like an actor in one bit, and then there's lots of different roles that Princess Peach plays.
Yeah, and it's very pretty to watch. They've done a great job with the graphics. There's not really much to say apart from if you love your side-scrolling platform games and you love a bit of Mario or Donkey Kong, this is just one of those games.
The only interesting fact I learned was that Princess Peach hasn't been the main character of a game since 2005.
Well, so this is girl return. Power, man. Yeah, it's good. And, you know, it's not too expensive.
£50 on the Switch. It's on the limit.
Yeah.
It's not 70, though, in this day and age.
It's not 70 quid. And also, you know, it's just an easy game to play if you're busy with a one-year-old and you haven't got time to... Well, how many hours did you say that you should be spending on Final Fantasy? Yeah, this is probably like, you know, 10 hours. It is probably done and dusted in that. So a nice little game. If you've got kids or if you just want to play it yourself, I think it's best for both.
They've done remakes a lot recently. The latest one is a game called Alone in the Dark, which was a sort of horror game where you'd walk around a house and have to solve puzzles and stuff like that. Really kind of classic game. But they've remade it. And get this, with Jodie Comer off of Killing Eve.
Oh, my goodness.
And the guy off of Stranger Things, David Harbour. Wow. Harbour, who plays Harper in that.
Harper.
So you'd think, right, those are two incredible actors.
Yeah.
So the performances are going to be next level.
Mm.
But they're shocking.
What?
They're really poor.
You're joking.
And
What happened?
I don't know. Honestly, in the day where you've got games like Alan Wake and Alan Wake, the second one, obviously, which we've reviewed recently, which are just unbelievable horror games. You know, you're immersed from start to finish. This just doesn't cut it at all.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
That's
surprising to say that they've got two massive stars like that.
It also lagged a bit when I played it, and I thought, hang on a second, this is a £50 game here. You know, I this is not going to be a long review because it's going to just say, do not play.
Just don't bother.
They're trying to update it now to make it better, but it's like a very poor man's Alan
Wake. What does it like... What does it look like? Is it like...
You know, like when you used to play Resident Evil and you'd walk around with a sort of over-the-shoulder view and then you'd be going inside a house and yeah. you'd pick up little things and mm-hmm. you can find a key and it's like puzzles like that.
Oh, right, okay.
But it's just not fun.
Does it look good?
No.
Oh.
The graphics aren't up so to scratch.
It doesn't look good. The story play is rubbish and the actors are rubbish.
£50. Available on all platforms except for the Switch. I've got to just mention this as well. There's a game called Brothers, which I'd say it's a bit of a cult classic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird one because you play with a... Well, you can play on the computer, but you play with a controller.
Yeah.
And the left stick controls one brother and the right stick controls the other one.
Oh, that's cool.
And because you're controlling two things, it hurts your brain.
I would say I'm just bad just controlling one character.
Well, you can play co-op if you get someone else to hold the other side. It's actually quite fun. But they've remade that. And, okay, I don't think there was any need, because actually the first one, the graphics were quite cool.
Yeah.
Quite lo-fi. But they've made it with better graphics. But if you haven't played it,
yeah,
good opportunity. I just wanted to mention it. Because
that sounds quite
really,
an interesting
really cool.
one.
Power up. That's it. We're out of here.
Well, that's a quick one today, isn't it?
Short and sweet.
Yeah, although it's been quite good, like, doing the kind of retro stuff, even, like, Princess Peach, like...
Yeah. It's inspired by that whole generation,
yeah.
isn't it?
And it was quite good what we were talking about earlier about the retro stuff. There really has been, like, a big demand, I'd say, for retro gaming. And, like, we've seen a lot more, like, retro arcades popping up here and there. And, you know, a Sega these days, you can sell them or buy them for about £70.
I know.
We should have kept the old one in the attic.
I really wish I'd kept my Sega. N64.
Yeah.
I used to love playing Donkey Kong on that.
Where's that gone?
I think my brothers have got it.
Oh, damn it. Probably made some money on that.
Yeah.
We've got Game Boy Color as well, haven't we, somewhere?
Yeah, you've got the Game Boy. What's amazing about the Game Boy Color is that you forget it didn't have a backlight. So.
Yeah, it's so dark. So. You can't actually play it. If it's past like 6 o'clock at night, you just cannot see it. And then when you put it on at night and you put the lights on, it all reflects on the screen.
I know.
So you, yeah.
How do we cope? It's a hard life playing Pokemon back in the day, wasn't it?
Our son Theo will just never... He'll never know the struggle.
We've said this before, but we've got to start him off on old games and then sort of gradually blow his mind as we introduce him to the more modern stuff.
Well, look, I would love to know what you've got at home. Like, do you have a Sega? Do you have a Game Boy Color? Which was the best console? I would say Sega. You'd probably say Nintendo.
I had a long, long play fiesta with the Game Boy Advance.
Yes.
SP.
Yes.
Not the SP,
sister,
sorry, just the Game Boy Advance.
My sister used to have that, yeah.
It was so cool. Well,
let's try and get like a top three going next time we do the podcast. So you know the drill. This is how you get in touch.
Oh, it's me. I should have something that
we
does
need,
it.
We need like
then,
an actual button,
a button
that you press.
Hang on. This is...
Let me press you.
At Naked Gaming Pod.
Very good. Oh, and you can always tweet, as you know. We're happy to have a chat on Twitter as well.
Final thing, there's a game, I know you haven't played Lemmings before, but like it was a game where you'd have to manage little creatures from stop them from dying. Like they'd always want to run off a cliff, but you'd tell like one of the lemmings to stand there and stop everybody, and then they'd sort of, and then you'd have to jump them over lava and stuff.
Yeah.
They've got a new demo for a game called The Settlings, Lemmings, which is basically the same, but you can play it on the Steam Deck and computer. It's really cool. So that's a free demo to try.
Cool.
I just wanted to mention it because it's actually probably the most fun I've had gaming this month. That's it.
The end.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.